What are some of your most proud achievements in the roles that you've played in the hospitality space?
I really enjoyed my time with Starwood. I really enjoyed my time doing the lean work and helping others be more efficient and converse.
Hi, this is Ted Kelly with another Ted's Hospitality Minute. Hey, today we've got an awesome guest on. His name is Stephen Goldman. He is a hospitality veteran, an expert in the operations side of hotel operations, and we are blessed and a privilege to have him today. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Ted. How are you? Thanks for that intro.
Hey, thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time today. Hey, I always like to talk with folks. I know we're going to get to the business side of things, but I always like to hear a little bit about folks' background, where they're from, where they grew up. Were you always on a beeline for hospitality, or did you take a few turns and ended up in hospitality? Can you talk a little bit about that for our viewers?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. Hospitality and hotels in general were not what I went to school for. I went to Syracuse University and didn't really know, like, well, I don't know about people today, but like most of us, we really didn't. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Graduated from Syracuse, and I had a couple summer jobs in New York and in the big hotel in the big Sheraton Center. So didn't have a job when I graduated. Went back to work for them, and just stuck with it. And lots of layers and lots of different positions. And I loved working with people. I didn't mind the hours. I would work all the time, just like most of us probably did when we started out. And I just stuck with it. And I've done it my entire career. I've been in hospitality, with the exception of a one-year departure when I did a what if with a buddy from college. But I was bored to death. And a year later, I moved out to California, and I hopped right back into it and picked up where I left off. So it wasn't the intent, but it was definitely something that I took to right away and stuck with it.
Wow. That is interesting because, you know, you like probably, I at least want to say 50% of our guests that come on, hospitality was not where they were going either. When they were in college or, you know, in their work professional life, they just somehow ended up in the hospitality position, and all of a sudden it stuck with them. And now they're like, man, I can't think of doing anything else. Right. So it's interesting how so many different folks end up in the hospitality space, and it's by happenstance versus actually making a beeline. But one thing I think I've gathered from all of the guests that have said that is that, you know, you either love hospitality or you don't. That's kind of been the thing from, you know, you either love it or you don't. And if you don't love it, then you're probably going to move on. But if you do love it, you know, it sounds like you end up being a Stephen Goldman and you end up staying in it forever, right?
Yeah. You know, it's all, I think it's all about wanting to be and comfortable being around people. You know, I couldn't see myself, even in the latter part of my career, the last bunch of years being, I'll call it above property in kind of when you traveled around, if I did, I pull out whatever hair is left if I was sitting in an office for an entire day. I can't do it. So I just can't do it. I just love to be out with people, talking to, you know, all employees and just being around them. It's the energy that I think we love. And I think that's what the difference is for a lot of us in hospitality, no matter where that hospitality space is. It's just being around people. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps me going.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Hey, before I dive into your experience and get more detail into that, I always like to remind our readers that, hey, follow us on LinkedIn, check us out on YouTube as well. And we're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Because if you want to learn and hear more about Stephen's episode with us, we'd love to hear your feedback. And I'm sure Stephen would love to hear it too. And we're always looking for your feedback because that helps us make a better show and a better program that we bring to you. All right. Now, Steven, let's talk about your experience and what you've been doing over this 20, 30-year hospitality career. Talk to us a little bit about some of the different roles that you've played in over that time.
Sure. So I guess I can date myself and go way back. It started, again, didn't go to school for it, just worked my way up. Started in New York, did lots of different positions. The Sheraton Center, which is now the Sheraton New York, big, back then we had lots of different levels. So I did a lot of different levels and mostly all in rooms. I remember a boss taking me for a walk one day and said, "Steven, I want you to go to housekeeping." And back then, we never would go to housekeeping. But by the time we got around the block, I was in housekeeping. After the GM, took me for a walk and lunch. But did that for a number of years and then was transferred out to California, all with ITT Sheraton. And then, did that for a few years, did that 1 year departure, and then went back. So a lot of after that it was third party management, and a lot of different positions. It was fortunate to be with Interstate Hotels back when Interstate was still Pittsburgh based and private, and did a number of properties. They were in a heavy growth mode, so I was able to pop around and willing to pop around and got my chance to be a GM in San Jose, California, and did some good things with it. And after spending some time with them, followed some colleagues back to Starwood when Starwood was formed. And again, property positions, moved back east, and then one day, someone from some Starwood said, "Steven, would you like to do this project called Lean Hotel Operations? We're going to go out and we need to find efficiencies. We need to do some work in our properties. We're going to do all the owned and managed hotels first." And there was about 85 at the time. "But we need someone with your experience to lead a lot of these teams that are out in the field. We've got a lot of people out there, but we need someone to kind of to lead it, in the field, in the hotel." So I did that. I ended up doing that for 3 years, and that was probably one of my highlights because I've taken those learnings, the Six Sigma learnings, the Kaizen learnings, all that lean technology that you hear, but all that stuff that I was trained in, and took it into a volume-based business like hotels, and helped others be operationally more efficient. And there's lots of inefficiencies out there. And I take a lot of those learnings to, 10, 12 years later to today, when and as I operate and as I look over operations and help operations, there's still, I'll call them opportunities. And that kind of was my springboard to above property work. Third party management, a couple of different companies, large companies, small companies, large ones like Starwood, smaller third-party owner-operated organizations that I've worked in, all different shapes and sizes of hotels, up until most recently when I did a departure into Sodexo. So.
Wow. Let me ask one question. In your experience in the operations side and some of the inefficiencies that you see, what's one of the most common things that you see when you start looking at an operations setup that you see is the most inefficient thing that you will see right off the bat?
The biggest one is labor. I mean, it's kind of obvious in a way, but in a volume-based business, there are opportunities, both positive and negative, every minute of every day. And if you don't know how to take advantage of those swings in volume, you're leaving money on the table. And it starts before, present day. It starts back, a week or 2 weeks or whatever your schedule process is, but it starts back then and seeing, what's going to happen when I'm putting out a schedule, but what's going to happen during those days? And look, the business is predictable. You know, you're going to have one-offs. Things are going to happen. There's going to be a storm. An airport's going to shut down. Whatever. There's going to be an emergency. Those things are going to come up, but they're going to be few and far between. Our business is very, very much follows patterns, and everybody knows that they do, based on your geographic location and based on your seasonality. So, but if you're not adjusting your labor for those swings, you're leaving money on the table.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. I like that. Can I ask you, what's the second inefficiency that you see? I like that answer so well. Can you give me another one?
Yeah, actually I can. You know, part of what we did and part of what we did through Lean was, sure, we looked at financials, but organization. And I'm talking about physical organization, not organizations. How is your storeroom organized? Where do you keep certain items? So, what we were doing is we were trying to eliminate waste, and we were proving how to eliminate waste. So when somebody in a hotel walks into a storeroom looking for a particular item, how long does it take them to find the item? And if it takes them 15 minutes to find the item, they probably wasted 14 minutes. Versus if you walk into a storeroom and everything's labeled and your shelves are labeled and you know where the items are. And, oh, by the way, there's a map on the back of the door telling you exactly where there are. And there's inventory. An engineer, I'll use the old light bulb example. An engineer can walk into a storeroom. He knows exactly where the particular light bulb is. He grabs it, turns around, he goes back to the room. Takes like 30 seconds versus him having to travel all over the place. If you were to go into a number of hotels and open up some storerooms in the back of the house, you'd be surprised at what you find. And there's opportunity there to be more efficient, to eliminate waste. We move storerooms around during this process from one side of the hotel to another where appropriate. Some big hotels, bigger, you know, convention hotels where the back of the house just goes on for miles. There's tons of opportunity to place things in different spots in the hotel. A 50-room tower like the Sheraton New York, which I think to my recollection has 50 or 51 floors. If everything's located in the basement, it takes a while to get down the elevator to go to the basement, go back up to the 49th floor versus, well, why don't you have a small storeroom halfway down? So it's little things like that, little bites that make that kind of, they all add up. It all adds up. So I think the second thing to answer your question was how everything is organized and it creates a, look, it creates just a better back of house environment, which is a better environment for your employees anyway. So it helps on multiple fronts, but that was definitely a big takeaway for us and a big opportunity for our hotels.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I'm about to ask for 3, 4, and 5, but I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to ask my viewers to make sure they subscribe to our page on LinkedIn and YouTube, Apple Podcasts as well, and Spotify, so they can catch these golden nuggets that you are presenting in this podcast, because everything you just said makes so much sense. But I bet if we walked into a hotel, we would find that some of what you just said is probably taking place, you know, the wrong way.
It's amazing. I could talk about this stuff all day long. It's amazing. And you know, it's nobody's fault. And in good times, the other thing is, in good times, it's easy to get lazy. So, and post COVID, the last, year, maybe two, have been pretty, maybe year, I guess, year and a half has been pretty good. So, bet you I could find some opportunities today Not that it's anybody's fault, it's just human nature. We just kind of get lazy when things are good and we focus on other things.
Yeah, what a great point. What a great point. So I'm going to reverse the question now. So I'm going to ask you, what are some of your most proud achievements in the roles that you've played in the hospitality space?
Great question. I really enjoyed my time with Starwood. I really enjoyed my time doing the lean work and helping others be more efficient, and conversely, then they become more successful. But I think from a project standpoint, or we always work on different things. When I joined Amsterdam Hospitality, which is an owner-operated group in New York City, most of their assets are in the five boroughs, and they had one in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and then they had an asset in Charlotte, in Uptown Charlotte, but over by the government side of Uptown. It was an independent hotel called the Blake, and I was able to. Coming from Starwood, I was able to franchise that asset into a dual branded Starwood, a dual branded Starwood property. So we converted that to a Le Méridien and a Sheraton, right when the time when Starwood needed Le Méridien keys. They had just purchased the brand shortly before that. And downtown Charlotte, or Uptown as they call it, needed Sheraton keys. So we were able to convert that. There was a fair amount of work that the owners had to do to comply with the PIP, which they did a great job doing, and kudos to them. But from I kind of held on to that project from start and ran that project from start to finish. And we turned that asset around from something that was losing money and in very poor shape to, a $40+ million asset, and it's probably doing more than that today. And we did it in 2 to 3 years it took. But all things considered, now it's two great properties that sit next to each other that you can walk to. With multiple restaurants, a rooftop bar, some of the best food and beverage in Uptown Charlotte, and a real great success story from a project. And I think others would agree. And so that was one of my that was one of my. The only negative there was that I wasn't allowed to manage it because it was the owner's first go around with Starwood, and they said, "Stephen, we know you, but we don't know them. And let's do this one first. Go hire a management company. And then for the next one, you guys can do it, get approved, and you can do it." So that was only the negative. So I became the asset manager and stayed very, very involved with that project. That was a good one. That was one of my largest wins, I would say, if you will.
That is so awesome. You mentioned PIPs, and in my real life, when I'm not doing a podcast, actually that's what we're doing. We actually help ownership groups and REITs execute their PIP and capital improvement plans. We do a lot of third-party project management where we're going through the PIPs and trying to help ownership groups. Hey, you can do this. You don't have to do this. You can do that. Tell the brand this costs too much unless they want to give you some type of, some money on it. Don't do it, right? And trying to put together design teams and, all of the components to make a renovation work from, 12, 18 months out. So that's our life outside of being on a podcast talking with you.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff because there's a lot of ways you can go with those PIPs. They're written a certain way, but there's a lot of ways that you can go and don't have to go, and quite honestly should go. And sometimes owners that are not well versed in the franchise world and have dealt with just independents when they can do whatever they want, when they get into that world, they ask a lot of questions and a lot of whys. And explaining that to them is a science.
Yeah, and some of the bad cases we've seen is when the money's spent and the renovation's not done properly, then you still got some issues, right? So
Oh yeah. Now this was a great project. They did what they wanted to do, and it was amazing to see the it's fun to see the transformation of a building that exists. I mean, to build something from the ground up, that's another animal all in itself. But when you have to convert something, and the way they did this project, pretty impressive.
Right, absolutely. So tell me, Steven, I know you are a operations expert. You're transitioning into your next new role, whatever that might be. Talk a little bit about what type of opportunities you're looking for, and then tell folks how they can find you so they can talk about it with you.
Yeah, thanks for that, Ted. I love working with teams, and I guess I keep going back to my Starwood days. But ever since then, I just have always enjoyed working with others and helping others be successful. I see who's coming up through the ranks these days, and the skill sets that they have and the skill sets that they don't have, and how much they can I can teach and help and coach and mentor. The IT side of our business has to play a bigger role, and staying in tune to that. I've been able to do that and help others do that as well. So, I'm looking just to continue on that path. Help others be successful, help portfolios be successful, and bring what I can bring to the table, and help. And help to help others. So, I think a balanced approach is huge to what we do. I don't see that enough. I think efficiencies still exist today, and I think they'll always exist. And it's just a matter of showing people how to use them, and showing them, what's important. So that's what I'm looking to continue to do. I love to travel around the country. I love to travel the world. I wish I could travel the world more, but I love to go and visit. I think fresh eyes are huge. I think they're hugely important when you're in an above property role. And I like to be able to use my fresh eyes to help others. And I guess finally, I don't think we. I guess when I was with Sodexo, I saw a little bit of a different way to take care of your associates. They do things a little bit differently, very forward, very out there, huge organization. I think we can do a better job in the hotel space of taking care of our associates. It's a tough job for the hourly teams. I mean, there's no two ways about it. We need to take care of them. And everyone talks about it. Everybody knows it. Some do it better than others. So if I could get with an organization that believes in that and believes in their people and taking care of their people, I'd be happy. I could stay there for as long as I can continue working, which I plan to do as long as I can continue to work. And finally, best way to get in touch with me is through LinkedIn. I guess it's all updated, it's up to date, and contact information is there. And that's the way I talk to a lot of people besides the phone. If people want to pick up my phone number's there, pick up the phone and call me. The texting thing and the email thing, it's all good. It's a good way to relate, but I just pick up the phone and call.
All right, sounds good. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate the time, okay?
Thank you, Ted. It was a pleasure. Nice to meet you.
Right. This has been another Ted's Hospitality Minute. Please remember to follow us on LinkedIn, subscribe to our YouTube page, and we're also available to you on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'd love to hear your feedback. Steve's dropping a whole bunch of knowledge here for us on this segment. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you next time.
Ted's Hospitality Minute is sponsored by Recoverit. Don't wait for disaster to happen to wish you had done this.